Thank you very much, Luc, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, and thank you for the invitation today. On the ground perspective was the question or the aim. To do that, I need to go back a little bit on who we are and what we do, to give a brief introduction. As SOS Children Villages is definitely not known that well as MSF. So the organization was founded by a person named Hermann Gmeiner, who was assessing as a teacher after the Second World War that around 7,000 children were orphans in Austria. And he said, we need to do something about it. And he also found many abandoned villages in the countryside, in Tyrol, Vorarlberg, and he asked the widows if they would accept some children and to care for them while he is taking care for logistics. And that was the start of the organization. At that time, it was just one village in Imst, close to Innsbruck, and nearly every guest of the state was brought to Imst over 20 years, and the presidents and prime ministers then asked, what do I need to do? I want to have this in my country as well. And he said, just give me some land and I will open the village. So that was the start. Right now we are caring for around 500,000 children all over the globe. We have 38,000 co-workers employed, and we work with a budget of roughly 1 billion euros. To come to my job, or why I'm working with SOS since 1 year, is to, again, increase the capacity to respond to crisis. Which we do, and here you see a list of countries where we have emergency programs besides the usual regular development programs of SOS. As well, we have schools, 120 schools, and we run also around 80 hospitals and health centers, mainly in Africa. And the red color is are the severe humanitarian crises where we have a presence. The green colors are the ones where we are not present, and the red ones are the countries or the dots in the countries where we have started operating to address the needs of refugees and migrants. So again, the view from the ground, or the perspective of NGOs, and I picked out two global trends to briefly talk about it, and this is migration and the impact of climate change on migration. And again, here, half of the refugees, half of the people who are displaced by force or dire living conditions are under 18. So a recent report from UNICEF, I think the figure was 27 million youth and children are displaced. And this, some of you, or most of you certainly know best, will increase over the coming years with the impact of climate change. And this is something where we, and again, when we look at our programs in the Balkan region, or starting with Greece, we have not found the right answers at NGOs. And there also the question is, what kind of services we need to develop with you together, with the space industry, to address much better the needs of these vulnerable groups. And the worst is still to come, as we all know. Another global trend which I briefly want to focus is here in respect of the violence against aid workers. And also here we have seen over the past 25 years an increase of more than the double than it was before in the past. And the reasons are various and not subject of our discussion, but this is a big, big challenge for aid workers, specifically for the national staff, for the colleagues who work on the ground in the countries where crises are. Because expats, we can always throw the towel and if possible, try to get evacuated. But for them, this chance is not possible most of the time. Again, here we see geographically where the problems are, or the biggest, or the number are the highest in terms of the incidents. And yeah, and you may think, what does that all mean for SOS and space application? But there we are. We have started a number of projects with different actors, very well known, I believe, here in this room. And what we need in these 130, 135 countries is an early warning system. We need to know as soon as possible when crises are occurring to minimize the impact of the population, and not just the children and youth in our villages, but also in the community, because we are part of the community working there with our programs. And this we would like to, and there we would like to use state-of-the-art technology, and I come a little later on that. Also, this is a collaboration where before I worked with MSF, I was involved with the University of Salzburg. That was my first encounter with the technology some years ago, where the services are listed. And again here, we call it vulnerability assessments. Here we want to also know what do we need to prepare for in the different society we work with. What are the risks? What we need to expect, and how we are preparing us best to face these situations with the pre-positioning of material, etc., etc. And last but not least, but for Earth observation, we agreed also for the shortage of time that Edith will focus more on the details. And the third one is the DHL tool Resilient 360. It's a platform where we want to manage or use this platform to disseminate, to share this information with our stakeholders in all the countries we work with. Okay, so first to the German Space Center and the Department for Disaster Information. This is, by the way, funded by Allianz Insurance, and the other project with Salzburg ZGIS, and I don't know if a representative of IFFGAS here, was funded by the Austrian Research Promotion Agency, who did a lot in supporting us and other NGOs to get there where we are today. So what the colleagues in Germany have done is they map all our project locations. And in case there is a warning, which they get from all the different disaster information centers all around the globe, they look into the details. They look into the places where we are. And if they see that, whatever, a storm is approaching to one of the villages, or there is a tsunami warning and we have three villages on the coastline in Indonesia, as it happened 2 months ago, and the earthquake was similar in the magnitude as the big tsunami in 2004, also the distance was similar. And we got a first, I think it was ACAPS, or it's a tsunami warning center. So the question was, how high will the wave be to evacuate our villages? And 20, 30 minutes later, I got a phone call from the center, and they told me the wave will only be half a meter, maximum 1 meter high. So I looked in our intranet, and I only found, and it was, I think, 8 o'clock in the evening there, and I only found telephone numbers of landlines. And so we wrote emails, we called the landlines, but Saturday at 8, nobody's in the office. So we couldn't reach them. Only one colleague we reached, and they were about to prepare the evacuation. So with the platform and with what we are about to build until the end of this year, We will inform them via WhatsApp, Facebook, and for sure also on their mobile phone numbers. Next one, just another example of an actual application. When there are floodings in this case, how do we get access to the village? How do we get access to the population who is trapped in the crisis? And this shows simply the roads where you can, which are still accessible, which we could use to bring in material or personnel to respond to the crisis and to support the people in need of assistance. Another example, we are preparing for the impact of the El Niño phenomena and the drought food shortages in Ethiopia. And here we have a village in Harar. Usually the villages are always, I mean, the space is very big. And we want to use for sure also these villages as a hub and a place where we are able to respond to crisis. So in this case, we get, again, logistic information, which can be useful. When we get closer, so the blue lines are marking the houses where the villages, or the sorry, the youth are living. But we want also to know if we have an influx of patients, of beneficiaries. How do we manage that in the village? Where do we position, for example, a feeding center, a nutrition or a health post, when also we have to run regular programs and not to disturb them too much. So this can be used, for example, also to measure storage capacities. This can be useful for us, again, to assist and help the colleagues on the ground to prepare for the emergency. How many tents we can build there? What can we store in the village to respond quickly? Yeah, it's another. So the DHL tool, I briefly speak about this one. Again, with 130 countries and also regional offices all there to support, we need to have a platform to manage all this. And we have chosen this one. When I got introduced to this platform for the first time in their innovation center of Deutsche Post DHL in Köln, or Bonn, better saying, it was actually, for me, it was like Christmas and New Year's Eve. I always wanted to have such a tool, and there it was in front of me. I mean, you have 400 sources who are contributing and to this information platform. And I asked to show me Syria, because we run projects in Syria. We are in Aleppo with 60 of our staff, and we had, it was a couple of weeks before this appointment, we had to evacuate them from Aleppo to Damascus. So what do you know? Which road do you take? All these kind of informations are very important to keep our staff and beneficiaries as safe as possible, for example, in this case, during an evacuation. And I will never forget this figure. It was 158, and that was the number of incidents in Syria of today. And then you Google, like with Google, you zoom in. And then they followed the road from Aleppo down to Damascus, and you could see the type of incidents. You could see, okay, this road you can't take because they have blown up a gasoline station, and it's not usable. But you can take the other road and get down to the south. So this was really interesting for me, and we will. We will amend it, and this is also something what we do with the colleagues from DLR, to create interfaces that we use this platform, again, with one click to inform 1,000 people in SOS who are then the ones who have to react due to their position and plan and activate emergency response. So a number of services can be dealt with, and so this is one way of information sharing. We also want to get information from the ground to be delivered to us. And this one, for example, is an incident reporting tool, what we have also included in this platform, that if something happens somewhere in the world, so the national director or the focal person for these kind of incidents opens the platform, opens the interface, and files the incident, rates it, and then another 2,000 people in the capital, in the regional office, in the headquarter will be informed through this tool and then know exactly what to do. If it's a kidnapping, okay, you have standard operating procedure along the incident management protocol, you have to build a crisis team, etc., etc. With this, you don't lose time. And there have been issues and incidents where it took quite some time that relevant people got to know about it. So this is what we want to achieve. Again, the last one, just shortly to name also the University of Salzburg, which we work together, the population displacement, the groundwater population tool, but I leave that for Edith. As we said, she will also bring some other issues in, but what I want to, again, to wrap up, I think when you are able to land spacecraft on a comet which flies over 10 years through space and then lands on a comet, the Rosetta, the famous Rosetta mission of ESA, these issues should be actually a walk in the park. It's more where do you point your resources and aims to. And I think with what we've heard and what we have learned in the coming years, ESA and other space providers and the industry will join us and will help NGOs to solve these problems. The challenges are big, and behind these figures of hundreds of millions in the coming years who have to leave their countries of residence because it's not simply possible to live there. These are challenges where we need all work together. And I hope this also will contribute to this. Thank you very much.